welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 2nd, 2020. Today, we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinker. How are you doing, Mariah?
I am doing well, and I am very pleased to have Stephen Rothstein from Ceres returning to our show to discuss what you, dear listener, can do personally in response to some of the systemic climate risk that we talked about in a prior show. So this is part two of our discussion with Stephen Rothstein. So listen to the first one if you haven't yet, and join us for this one after. I am doing well, Ted, and I am pleased to be joined that we will be joined today by Stephen Rothstein, the founding managing director of the Ceres Accelerator for Sustainable Capital Markets. Stephen, we're looking forward to talking to you today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'd love to pick your brain a little bit about, we talked in a prior episode, so if you're just tuning into our show, please go back and listen to our first episode, which aired on Friday, October 30th. So listen to that first if you want some good background information. And then this is sort of the follow-up episode where we talk about what you can do for systemic climate risk personally. So Stephen, please tell us, what can I do as an average American citizen to encourage my financial institutions to address climate risk?
Thank you. That's a great question. And it's particularly appropriate this week when we're voting for president and other people, where, you know, the issue of kind of one vote matters. Well, your financial vote matters, and you can do so much. It's where you invest your money. That makes a big difference. Are you asking your bank or your insurance company, what are our products? So, for example, there are insurance products that if you drive less, it costs less. It's also better for the environment. There is a database out there for these, which I'm happy to share with people. Are you asking your insurance company what kind of products they have? Are you asking your bank, where do they invest their money? Where do they make loans? But think about all the products you buy, the food, the clothes, et cetera. Each one of those has a climate impact, a carbon impact. And the more the consumers ask, then their companies are going to start to listen. Also, for those of you that are employed, have you asked in your boss, what is the company doing? Again, it's not just an oil company. It could be an office company. Well, what are they doing to promote recycling or composting or other kinds of things? So this is a big problem, climate change. The only way we're going to solve it is all of us digging in. Some people who are president of a bank or president of a country, they obviously can do a lot more, but every single person can make an enormous impact.
That's great. As a former practitioner of recycling and composting and all of that stuff in the business world, I fully support that. But I wonder, are there other things that citizens could ask their employer to do, even deeper than that, in terms of, you know, how that would look like, but how their retirement funds are being invested. I guess they choose that, but, you know, something like that, that might even push against that a little more.
So retirement funds are a great example. So 90% of employees, in retirement funds, the company usually gives you an option, but in 90% of the cases, you don't have an option to invest in a green fund or what's called a ESG fund, an environmental society and governance fund, a fund that thinks about some of these social issues. So one of the things you could do is go to your retirement fund manager. It's often the head of human resources or something else, and say, I'd like an option so that I could invest my money where my principles are. And there are now hundreds of funds out there like this. And less than, again, 10% of the people have that option. And there's some big companies that don't do this at all. So that's something we can all do. And if there's more money being invested in this, that's going to create more capital to build windmills and solar farms and biodigesters and all electric vehicles, charging stations and all that. So the market needs to work and we can all contribute. And it's also important to say, by doing that, you're not losing money. If you look at the returns of these funds, Every fund is different. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not trying to suggest what to do. But as a general field, if you look at the last several years, they have done as well or better than the market. That's not to say every single fund does as well. So, and they've grown faster. In the first 6 months of 2020, even during a pandemic, more money was invested in these kinds of funds than in all of 2019. So there's more money going into these funds. They're doing at or better than the marketplace. And if every one of your listeners went to their company and asked, that would make an enormous and important difference.
Yeah, I mean, I would just jump in. I think that is, I know from personal experience, you got to tread lightly when you go ask the boss about the energy efficiency of the product you're selling, right? They oftentimes don't want to hear that. But if you go to the human resources person and say, hey, we need more ESG options in the retirement plan, I mean, that's quite powerful, right? I mean, that's one of, I think that the point, Stephen, you can correct me, but I think your retirement fund, if you're fortunate enough to have one, let's just stipulate that, that's one of the most powerful ways that you can leverage, or the most powerful ways a regular person connects to the financial markets, right? Because most of the time, again, Stephen, you can comment, most of the time financial markets happen, you watch it on CNBC when you get home from work, maybe, right? And it's like, it's just this other world. But your retirement funds are living in that, and that's a place you can do something, right?
Exactly. No, you absolutely can. And it's your money. It's your money. So it's not like you're saying to them, I want you to do this for somebody else. I have values and I want my money to represent those values. Just as you may decide to buy organic food, you may decide to buy or not buy guns or companies that don't discriminate, or a variety of other things that are important. And there are funds where you can be very focused on climate needs or promoting renewable energy or other things like that. So it's growing, but still very small. It's something everyone can do. They can do it for their own fund. But if they're involved with a school or a church or a synagogue, they can ask them, well, where do you invest your money? And again, it may be a small number, but that's just as every vote counts. Every dollar gets invested sends a powerful signal.
And that's an interesting connection, because Mariah, we have talked in the show many times about divestment, right? The whole divestment movement for the last 10 years, that you can think of that call for Harvard to divest its endowment, right? You can think of some ways of your own opportunity to divest, to try and put your own retirement fund in a good option, but one that reflects your values. And I know you're not a market prognosticator, so I wouldn't put you on the spot, Stephen, but I mean, what I have seen is that Exxon and the fossil fuel industry has been drifting significantly lower over the last couple of years. I mean, it's not a great place. I mean, if you had $100 to put in the market, you wouldn't go buy Exxon stock, right? I mean, it's
let me put it this way. Again, I'm not projecting the future, but if you look at the last 10 years, if you'd put $100 in the overall stock market and the weighted average, kind of the Dow Jones average, or put it in the oil industry, you would have lost a lot of money in the oil industry, number one, both in returns and dividends. Second is, you know, it's changing that Exxon is no longer part of the Dow. Used to be one of the standard bearers. It's not there anymore. And now there's a company that's bigger that's in the solar business. So we still have a long way to go. And depending what happens with the election, you know, that if Vice President Biden is elected, that there will be it'll be a significant investment in climate. And that will affect everything from the roads we have and the cars and so many other things that are possible today. Just look at the growth, you know, there's over 1 million electric vehicles in the United States. And so there's lots of things what people can do in their purchases, how they use their dollars, will have enormous impact on their kids and their grandkids' future.
What about banks? Like, should I go to my bank and say, you know, who are you supporting? And maybe choose a different bank if I find that they're not doing a lot of support for ESG type initiatives.
So I think everyone should go to their bank and first say, can you publish a climate annual report? Just tell us what you're, tell us the pollution that's being caused, the climate risk by your, the operations and the money you're lending to others. That's a first step. And every bank should be able to do that. And then, because that'll then help them figure out what the risk is. Now, if it's a small local bank, they have a risk of a physical risk. Like if there's a tornado, there's a flood, there's a fire, then, and if they loan it in a 5 or 10 mile radius, there's a big risk there. Last or so, 2 summers ago, I think it was in California, when Paradise burned, the city of Paradise, town of Paradise in California, the local bank there burned and all their branches. Everyone should ask their bank, what are they doing from a climate disclosure? And can they publish a climate report? And customers are very important. You don't have to be, you know, a big multi-million dollar customer. If a few small customers go into their branch, that branch manager is going to write a letter to his or her supervisor, and it's going to be part of the culture. That's how change happens. That's how social change happens. So yes, I want everyone to do that after they finish this podcast to go call their bank.
I second that. That's great. They'll say, all of a sudden we have all these people calling us. What is it?
Well, I was going to say, you don't have to be particularly stern either, right? You ask a very polite question. And if that bank manager gets 3 questions like that, all of a sudden there's red lights flashing somewhere, right? Because they don't get a lot of questions that are that explicit. And so
it's a good way to go. Him, what is your climate annual report? Just, I want to see the numbers.
Yeah,
I want to see what impact you're having. We're not telling you what to do. Just, I'd like to see the impact.
And I think that a really important key part of that is, not only is it good for the ESG initiative for climate change as a problem that we're addressing, but it's also good for you, right? As you're saying, it could be an important movement for you to protect your own money that's at that financial institution, and maybe think about going somewhere else if they don't seem to have a good handle on climate risk.
Right. And again, I'm not saying banks are going to go bankrupt tomorrow, but over, several years, and if they make enough investments, again, there are billions of dollars of loss this year alone from oil companies. That means banks aren't going to get repaid. And we just issued a report a little more than a month ago that said there could be potential $100 billion of loss from the syndicated loans of just the top banks in our country, including some of the ones locally.
Wow. That actually leads me to another question I want to know is, can you recommend some good resources, websites, podcasts, journals that our listeners could turn to? Certainly the series website is a great place to go. That's series.org, right? But where else can our listeners go? And we can add some of these links to the podcast as well.
So they should obviously go back and listen to all of yours over the last several years.
That's right.
There's a great amount of resource there. That our series, CERES.org. We have a lot of reports there. There are a lot of other great nonprofits that publish excellent reports, that partners as well, depending on what their interest is. I mean, there's some that focus more on banks or insurance companies or food or agriculture. So there's literally hundreds. There's a lot of great work being done at the state level. We're also fortunate universities, between UMass Boston and Harvard and MIT and many others just locally, there's some great institutions there. So this is
Boston
a problem.
Boston University, just toss that one in there. But have a relationship, so do you, right, with Boston
exactly.
University.
Exactly.
Yep.
So this is a solvable problem. Unlike when John Kennedy said we're going to go to the moon, we didn't have the technology. We didn't know how we're going to do that. We didn't have the alloys. We didn't have the materials. Today, we know how to solve these problems. It's just a question of having political will. Mm-hmm. And shame on us if we don't decide to do it for each of us. And we've seen this year what happens when a society doesn't step up to a nature-based crisis, meaning the pandemic, and the impact that's having on our lives, our livelihoods, and visiting my son just had a birthday. I couldn't go, on everything. And
what's his name?
I have 2 sons, Isaac and Galen.
Should we say happy birthday to Isaac?
They both have birthdays. So yes, one we're going to see, one we're not going to get to see because the other one's out west. And again, a lot of people are suffering a lot worse, so I don't mean to say that, but it's affecting our lives in small and profound ways. And we could have done a lot better. We could have done a lot better. That is an example where it's a nature-based crisis. We weren't prepared. We know there's another nature-based crisis coming. It's called climate risk. And we need to be prepared. And each of us need to take steps in our own lives, like our retirement fund, and look at our purchases. And then for those of us in field, whether you work in a nonprofit or in a podcast or in a bank or insurance company, or hopefully a president of the United States, there's so much more that can be done.
Yeah, you're here. I love it. Ted, did you have other questions?
Oh, only about 300.
I know, right? We can go on and on.
But I think we're closing in. Our busy listeners need to get back to that important stuff they were doing. So what we'll do is we'll put up links on the blog for some of these things that we've touched on tonight. The blog is at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can send an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Please let us know what kinds of shows we ought to be, what we should be talking about, what you thought of this show, what you thought of other shows. We're interested in your feedback. You can listen to the show directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, yada, yada, yada. Please tell your friends to listen to us on their favorite podcast distribution app. We want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support that keeps our heads screwed on right each week. Right, Mariah? We always have a nice list of things to talk about. We'll close where we always close by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of those things, we have to insist the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our collective future. So thank you so much for your insight, Stephen. I really appreciate it.
Thank you both. Thanks for your time. Thank you for sharing this information with your listeners.
Great. And Mariah, thank you as always for being here. It's great to have you here. And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Very cool.